Hey, Kyle here. I'm the pastor of Island Pond. I want to thank you for checking out our videos. Whether you're listening by podcast, watching online, or watching on television, my prayer is that God will use this message to bless you, encourage you, and challenge you today. If you want more information about our church, or if you want to watch other messages, you can go to www.islandpondbc.com. If you live in the Hampstead, New Hampshire area, come on out. Right now, our services are at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning in Hampstead, New Hampshire. All right, let's go ahead and dive in to the message today.
It is a pleasure to be here again. I preached the first Sunday of the month. Here I am again getting to preach the last Sunday of the month. So you get me coming and going this month. So, and what I preached last month, though, I told you I was going to preach a sermon that was going to be about the mission and sufficiency of Christ and the Messiah, along with the weakness of the law and the mission of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. We got the first part done last week, on the first Sunday, but we didn't have time to do the rest of it, so that was a little shorter service, so you don't mind if I make it up today, do you? So we're going to be looking at the last two parts of that message that we began back in the first Sunday of the month. We're going to be looking at the two portions that we're going to be looking at this morning are the weakness of the law and the mission and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So all of the things that we're going to be talking about this morning, we're going to review just in a moment here what we talked about last Sunday, or that first Sunday, for a couple of minutes just to get you up to speed if you weren't here that day. But all of this, if you don't have, I'm going to be using the New American Standard Bible this morning. This is last Sunday, and then next year, I'm going to go back to the good old ESV. But today, I'm using the New American Standard. So if you want to follow along the text, you can take the Pew Bible. If you don't have an ESV, you can take that Pew Bible and turn to page 1006, and you will find the passage that we're going to be looking at today. So before we begin, let's just take a moment and pray and ask God's blessing on the time that we spend together this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, as we look at your word together, we do pray for the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit to go forth with this word. And we pray, Father, that you would use these words, that they might touch somebody's heart, that even today there might be one here that would need to know you as their personal Savior. And today, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and their heart through this word, they would come to accept Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for your love for us. We thank you for sending your Son. We pray now that you would just bless both the speaker and the message it has spoken, to glorify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to lift him up that he might draw all men to himself. And we ask it in his name. Amen. So we're going to first look at kind of a review of what we talked about that first Sunday. I keep saying last Sunday, but you know what I mean if I say it again. So we looked at the first part of it in last week. First four verses of chapter 10 is where we are. Chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10. And today we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 18. But we're going to just review those first few verses to set the stage for what we're going to be talking about in these last two pieces, because this passage builds upon itself here. So last time we were together, we looked at the weakness of the Old Testament sacrificial system, and we looked at this through four different aspects. The first thing that we looked at was the problem. And we saw this problem in the verse 1. It said the root of the problem of the Old Testament was the sacrificial system was stated here. And this is what it says in verse 1. For the law, This is the Old Testament ceremonial law for the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifice which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. The root problem with the Old Testament sacrificial system, that it was only a shadowy depiction of the good promises of God. The promises which would come with the Messiah who was coming as prophesied throughout the Old Testament scriptures. So the second thing that we looked at then, we looked at the proof of the problem. We saw this in verse 2. We saw that the proof of the problem there was that the sacrificial, we see the problem in the first verse, the first word of that second verse, and that verse is, that word is otherwise. It says, otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshiper, having once been cleansed, would no longer have the consciousness of sin? In this statement, the obvious was clearly pointed out. If the sacrifices being offered were effective in cleansing from sin and the consciousness of sin, there would have been no need for any additional sacrifices. But this was not happening. There remained the consciousness of sin even after the sacrifice had been made. So the third thing that we looked at then was the problem with the problem. If the sacrifices being offered were effective in cleansing from sin and the consciousness of sin, there would have been no need for any additional sacrifices. The problem was that even though the people made sacrifices year after year, they never were made perfect in the sight of God because of the weakness of the sacrifices being offered and the weakness of the priests who were offering them. And we see this in verse 3 where it says, but in those sacrifices was the reminder of sin year by year. The problem with the problem was that not only did the people continue to make sacrifices year after year, the sacrifices being made did not completely remove their sin. They were not made perfect in the sight of God because of the weakness of the sacrifices being offered and because of the weakness of those offering them. Finally, we saw in the last part the impossibility of the problem. We saw this in verse 4. It says there, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Because of both sacrifices and the priests making the sacrifices were only shadows and copies of the Messiah who was to come, they could never make perfect the sacrifices, the offering of sacrifices before God. They could never remove the consciousness of sin because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But even through the weakness of the sacrifices and the priests, we still saw the sovereignty of God, the grace and mercy of God, did we not? Recall again the passage that we read from Galatians 3:21 and verses 23 and 24, where it said, is the law then contrary to the promise of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would have indeed been based on the law. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was to later be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. God, in his sovereignty, gave us the moral law to show what righteousness should look like and how we fail in keeping the righteous commands of God. Again, recall what we looked at from Romans chapter 7, verse 7, where he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except for the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The sovereignty of God of creation said to Adam and Eve, even while they were in paradise in the Garden of Eden, that if they broke his command of obedience, they would surely die. They disobeyed God. They ate of the fruit, the specific fruit that God had commanded them not to eat. And in that very moment, spiritual death came into the world, and physical death was to follow. But our sovereign God, for his praise and glory, did in grace and mercy provide a means for mankind to have their sins covered by blood sacrifice made sincerely in obedience to the command of the ceremonial law until that time when faith did come, as Paul described in the Galatians passage that we looked at. And through this, God told of the Messiah who would come into the world and provide a permanent solution to the sin problem. For those who would believe through faith in the Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Which brings us now to the second part of our series, the mission of Christ. So, again, if you have that, if you have your passage open there to page 1006, you can follow along as we read verses 5 through 10. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. After saying the above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law, he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Notice that in verse 5, it begins with the conjunction, therefore. The Greek word that is used here can also have the meaning on account of, which seems to me to be appropriate in this case. On the account of there being no suitable animal sacrifice which could permanently cleanse men from sin, from the penalty of sin, and remove the consciousness of sin, something else had to be done. A permanent solution to sin was needed. The blood of bulls and goats could not remove the consciousness of sin, as the writer just explained. So God sent that permanent solution into the world. And we see this in John 3:16. It says, therefore, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The verse says, when he comes into the world. Now, if you look back into the first chapter of Hebrews, you see there that the author of Hebrews throughout the book defines he and him as the Son of God. So in verse 5, the writer of Hebrews, ascribing these words to Jesus, says, when he, Jesus, comes into the world, he, Jesus, being the very form of the good things to come, which we spoke of in chapter 1, the shadowy figure, Jesus was the very form. When I preached last time, my wife told me I had spent too much time on the shadow, so no more shadow today. which were spoken of in chapter 1, says, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me, quoting prophetically from Psalms 45, from 40, verse 6. God knew before the foundation of the world there was not an animal sacrifice which could ever satisfy his wrath against sin, that only through the sacrifice of a special offering could his wrath be satisfied. And since such a holy sacrifice did not exist in creation, a special body would have to be prepared which could satisfy such wrath against man's sins. That special body was the Messiah, who was prophesied throughout the Old Testament and came as Jesus Christ, Son of God. Jesus said to God the Father, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. God's sincere desire for his people was stated in Genesis 17:1-2, where God said to Abram, I am God Almighty. Walk before me, be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you. And through Micah, he reminds us in Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to do good, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That was God's desire for his relationship with mankind. Walk before me, be blameless, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. But man was forever tainted by the sin of Adam, and that pre-fall relationship with God was destroyed as man turned to follow his own way. So Paul tells us in Galatians 3:17 that 430 years after God made the covenant with Abram, the law and the sacrificial system was given to Moses as the means whereby man could have their sins covered because of their disobedience to God. Man's sins were covered by an appropriate sacrifice made according to the law of Moses, but was still not completely cleansed. It was a temporary measure covering his sin until the next occasion of sin, but the consciousness of sin was never removed, which we saw in our first point. God had not created any animal whose blood was pure enough to be sanctified for the remission, the blotting out, the erasing of sin, and the cleansing of our spirit from the consciousness of sin. Jesus continued speaking to God in verse 5, saying, but a body you have prepared for me. God had prepared a special body, a sinless body, a body whose blood was pure enough to satisfy the holiness, the righteousness, and the wrath of God against sinful man. A body who was fully God and at the same time was fully man. A man who was sinless both before God and man. That was the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, whose incarnation is described in Philippians 5, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, and whose sacrificial death is described throughout the Gospels. As he died, nailed to an old rugged cross for our sins and for our transgressions. In verse 6, the author reinforces what he had said in the previous verse, saying, in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices you have taken no pleasure. We saw earlier that God had inaugurated his covenant with Abraham. God's desire for his relationship with man was never based on burnt offerings and sacrifices, but on a personal relationship with him, a relationship where we would walk with him humbly, blamelessly, and obediently in faith. Verse 7 quotes from Psalms 47 again. Jesus speaking says to God the Father, then I said, behold, I have come. Completing the quote from Psalms 40, verse 7, he specifically states why he came. He says, to do your will, O God. this prophetic statement from an Old Testament Psalm of David, for the reason for the Messiah, Jesus, is coming. He came to do the will of God. In his incarnate state, Jesus himself validated this prophecy through the things that he did and said. In John 4:34, after his conversation with the woman at the well, Jesus spoke to his disciples saying, "My food is to do the work of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And again, after he fed the 5,000 men, Jesus said to the people that were following him that day in John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but do the will of him who sent me." And recall Jesus' prayer in John 12:27. Just before he was to begin his Passion Week, he says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this hour, I came to this hour." Knowing full well what was to befall him, Jesus was willing to lay down his life for the salvation of man in obedience to God the Father. "For this purpose, I came to this hour," Jesus said. While laying down his life in obedience to the Father, Jesus did so of his own free will. Listen to what he says to his own testimony in John 10:18. He says, speaking of his life, he says, I lay it down by my own initiative. And he says, I have authority to lay it down and to take it up again. Jesus did it of his own free will, in obedience to God the Father. Oh, my friend, do you hear that? Jesus willingly went through the travesty of the rest and trials. He suffered the beatings and the humiliation of crucifixion. He shed his righteous blood on the cross so that we might have eternal life by simply believing what he did for us. Won't you give your life to him today? Paul urged the people in Corinth, and you read in 2 Corinthians 6:2, where he quotes from Isaiah 49:8, where Isaiah says, "At the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you." Then Paul reminded the Corinthians in that passage in 6:2, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I believe this is that day for someone here this morning. This is the acceptable time for you. This is the day of salvation for you. Won't you believe the gospel today? Be saved through putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christ alone will save you. Through faith alone, by God's grace alone. In verse 8, the writer summarizes what Jesus said in verse 7. "Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them." Thank you, Real. Then in the last part of that verse, he tells us why these offerings were offered. He says, "which were offered in accordance to the law. They were done according to the ceremonial law of Moses established by the law." The last statement reminds us again that the law and the sacrifice were not part of God's original covenant with Abraham, but came 430 years later, as the Israelites came out of Egyptian captivity. But again, God in his grace and mercy accommodated man's sinfulness by providing a means for their sins to be covered by a blood sacrifice when done in accordance with the law until such time as the promised Messiah, whose shadow the law and the sacrificial system were, came. In verse 9, the writer of Hebrews states what Jesus had said previously at the end of the verse 7. Behold, I have come to do your will. Then at the end of verse 9, we know the Messiah had come to take away the first order in order to establish the last. Jesus demonstrated his obedience to the will of the Father in his incarnation that we see in Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5. Listen to what it says there. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus took away the requirement of the first covenant established under the law, a covenant of works, to establish the second covenant, a new covenant, a covenant of grace, not based on any works that we have done, but through faith which God gave us as a free gift to believe in Jesus for our salvation. This was the very purpose for his coming, for his being nailed on the cross on that hill called Golgotha. Jesus was the new covenant. He said to his disciples in Matthew 22:20, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Remember what we read in verse 4? "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Only the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, prepared before the foundation of the world, could satisfy God's wrath against sinful man." The writer then closes this section in verse 10 with this reminder to us all. He says, "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." By this will means that all that we have been speaking of from verse 5 through verse 10, by this willing sacrifice of Jesus, this perfect Lamb of God, this offering of his body, this offering of his blood as the propitiation, the appeasement for our sins, we are justified once for all, if only we will believe in him. Can you bow your heads right now, just momentarily, silently praying to yourself, saying, "Amen. Thank you, Messiah Jesus, for what you have done." So, what have we learned from looking at this mission of Christ? Well, because of the weakness of the law, ability to entirely cleanse from sin, something else needed to be done. It was not God's desire to have burnt offerings and sacrifices offered to him. God's desire was to have a personal relationship with man where we would walk humbly and blamelessly with our God. So God prepared a unique body to be the acceptable sacrifices for those whose sins of all who would believe. God sent his only begotten Son as that only sacrifice. Jesus was obedient to his Father and came to earth in human form and freely died on the cross, as the Gospels record. Jesus came because it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So that brings us finally to our third and last point this morning, the sufficiency of Christ's. Verse 11 reads, "Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But he, having offered one sacrifice for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies became a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their heart, and on their minds I will write them, he says. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now therefore is forgiveness of these things. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any need for the offering of sin. Verse 11 began by reiterating the utter futility of the service of a priest under the Old Testament law, under its sacrificial system. Listen to this futility as it describes the duties of the Old Testament priest. We read, it said, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. In verse 1, which we looked at earlier, the writer of Hebrews probably had in mind the Day of Atonement when he spoke originally in that verse 1, where he said sacrifices which they offer continually year by year. But here, the writer is clearly speaking of the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices continually offered by the priest. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifice which can never take a priest. Every priest, mind you, without exception, even the high priest, stood before the altar of God offering sacrifices on behalf of the people daily, time after time, offering that same sacrifice year after year, which can cover sin, but can never take away sin, can never cleanse the consciousness of sin. Through the very process of doing this day after day, did nothing but continually remind the people of their sin, because there was no lasting removal of sin through these bulls and goats. Every high priest who annually on the Day of Atonement took the blood of a ram and a goat into the Holy of Holies to anoint the Ark of the Covenant to take away the sins of the people after first offering sacrifice himself must go through that same ceremony year after year, forever reminding the people of their sinful state but never able to take away the consciousness of sin. And the reason for this we saw in that statement, going all the way back to verse 4, because of the ineffectiveness of the blood of bulls and goats. But praise God for the word the Holy Spirit breathed into the mind of Paul when he wrote in Romans 5:6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, God died for the ungodly. Look now at verse 12 of our text to see the significance of that statement. But he, having offered one sacrifice for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus did not offer multiple sacrifices on multiple occasions, on multiple years. Jesus offered one sacrifice, one time, for all time, for the justification of all who would believe in him. This was the power of that one sacrifice made by the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, no matter how many times they were offered over how many years. But one sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son, took away all sin for all time, for all who would place their faith and trust in him for their souls. Look at the last phrase in verse 12. What did Jesus do after he had made this one-time sacrifice? It says, he sat down at the right hand of God. Every priest who served before the altar of God always stood in the performance of their duties, no matter how many times they had to sacrifice, how many times Day after day, year after day, they did it. They never sat down. But Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, offered himself as a sacrifice to God one time. And then he sat down at the right hand of God. That one perfect sacrifice satisfied the wrath of God for all men for all time and removed the consciousness of sin. Won't you accept that gift from God this morning? Listen to the last part of Jeremiah 31, 34. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. In Psalms 103, 12, the psalmist writes, and as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. From verse 14 of our text, the writer of Hebrews makes this statement. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Recalling again verse 13, we see that what Jesus is doing in the meantime. What is he doing? He's waiting for that time forward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Another quote from a prophetic psalm of David, this time 110, verse 1. Then in verses 15 through 18, the writer of Hebrews says that even the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth of Jesus' finished work on the cross. And we read these verses earlier. And the Holy Spirit also testified to us after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and on their minds I will write them. Then he says, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Then he closes this section in verse 18 saying, now where there is the forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of these things, there's no longer any need of a sin offering. In John 19, verse 30, Jesus testified from the cross, it is finished. The justification for man has been completed for one time for all those who will trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is finished. So what should be our takeaway from this final point this morning? Well, while the Old Testament priest, including the high priest himself, must continually stand before the altar of God, offering sacrifices, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people, perpetually, Jesus, our high priest, a better high priest, because he himself was sinless, offered one sacrifice, one time for all time, and sit down at the right hand of God, where he now makes intercession for each of us who believe. Brothers and sisters, the penalty for sin has been paid. God's justifiable wrath against man's sin has been fully satisfied for all those who will come to God through Jesus Christ. If you've never admitted to God that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, won't you do so this morning? Jesus died for you on the cross those many years ago. His offer of salvation is to all who will ask him to be their Savior, and it is still available to each one of us this morning. Won't you ask today? Jesus came into your heart. Ask Jesus to come into your heart this morning, and he will. Guaranteeing you salvation and eternal life in the presence of God and his Christ. So I ask you this morning, have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever made him Lord in your life? If not, won't you do so today? And you can do it right where you're seated. All you need to do is simply pray, confess to Jesus that you're a sinner, that you're truly sorry for your sins, that you repent, that is, that you turn away from your sins, and that you want him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and to give you eternal life. If you pray this prayer and sincerely mean it, God promises to hear your prayer and to save you immediately, right where you are sitting, without your doing anything else whatsoever. He will give you the Holy Spirit as the guarantee of your future inheritance of eternal life with him and Christ. If you pray this prayer this morning and mean it, God will save you. Won't you pray it today if you've never prayed it before? Maybe you're a Christian, and you look at your life this morning, and you see that you're not living for Christ the way you would like to. You too can repent and turn back to serving Jesus as you ought. Won't you do that today? Maybe you need to become a member of Island Pond and use your spiritual gifts here as a part of ministry in this body, this local church. If you've made any of these decisions this morning and would like to share them, if you'd like to share what you've said to God, come down after the service is over and tell Pastor Kyle or me of your decision, and we'll be happy to pray with you. Let's pray.